Welcome to Misfits Making It. We're oddballs and we're doing cool stuff. I'm your host, Lauren Lojudice. Look at my Instagram right now. There's an instructional video. If saying that name gives you anxiety. Okay, so this is right here. We welcome. You have reached the place. This is the podcast version of the comedy shows I host around New York City and the road, the Misfit Variety Show, and all the shows at the Capiche Club Misfit Comedy Space down in Little Italy. How's it going? What's up in your misfit world? So I think, man, it's been a few weeks longer than I would have liked to put out a podcast. And that's because I produced a film, my first film I was the lead producer on. And whew, it was intense. It was like a tsunami that I did not expect. I really like for things to be organized on set so that I was acting in it. So it was like, I need this to be organized. I like things to be ahead of schedule. I don't like sets where people are belaboring. I want all of the decisions that we could possibly make before to be made so that we can just have a good time and be creative on set. And everyone to be well fed. Those are the things that I really try to do, but it requires a lot of concentration beforehand. So I didn't have time to do the podcast. I am sorry. I did not mean to neglect you, but let me tell you, it's going to be such a fun film. It was so beautiful to see people come together and be really invested in the idea. One of the things I did before I put out, when I was gathering a team, I would send them the script and I would say, hey, I know you're available on the date. I know you're like interested in doing a project, but like, do you like the script? Read the script. And if you do not like it, you do not have to do this project. You can bow out and everything is cool between us. No worries, no problem, no pressure. And so that meant that everyone who was involved was really into the story, really into the script. And that, man, it translated. It made it so fun to be a part of it. And I think not wasting time and belaboring on set also helped because people were like, wow, my time is being respected. And you're also feeding me well. So you're also respecting my needs as a human being. So overall, man, what an experience. And now we're on the other side. I will say one more thing. Is that I felt like it was good the misfit in terms of like misfit stuff is that when I asked people to bow out if they weren't interested, then the people who were interested were all weird. It was all misfits. It was amazing. So that made it a great vibe. I think I can only work with misfits. It's really what I'm finding out. Of course, I'm open, you know, for cash. I'll work for anyone. But I'm saying if I have to choose, it'll be misfits. So now I'm on the other side of all of this. I am now working on getting things together for a crowdfunding campaign, which will start in September because we have to do post-production and cost to do it right. We made something really special. And so I want to make sure that we can create the polish that it deserves. Then we're going to need to do crowdfunding for that. So I'm excited about that. And also got the day that the shoot wrapped. I'm sitting there trying to return, I won't say the company, Marjan packages. I'm getting them all ready at like 1 a.m. and I get an email saying that I got into the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Yep, I'm doing the PBH Free Fringe August 18th to 24th at Strathmore on Leith. And it's gonna be so fun. I can't wait. So I'm doing my first stand-up hour called Misfit Meltdown. And I'll tell you more about that next time. But yeah, it's really exciting. I'm doing it on July 24th. If you get this, if you're listening to this early enough and you're in New York City, July 24th, I'll be working it out down at the Capiche Club. So hope to see you there. Woo! So much going on, but so much joy. I'm just like, yes, this is the year. Fuck it. Let's do it. Like, I'm just always wanted to go. And I'm like, I'm going to make it happen. So, you know, I'm more and more with this movie, with this show, with the tour. I'm like, you know, the difference between people who do it and don't is the person who decides to do it. And as people who are non-conventional, we might not see ourselves out there represented. So we're like, oh, I don't know if I can. But you can. So do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. If you're not sure, ask me and I will give you a swift kick in the derriere. Get out there and do it. Okay. Now, before we get to an interview, quick reminder, rate and review the podcast. Social proof is so important for misfits because misfits trust other misfits to know what's good. You can also sign up at laurenlogie.com or you can sponsor a podcast. We are making it accessible for individuals or companies to do so. So we will put this out more often. It's going out about every other week. And if you sponsor, we'll go every week. We'll do it. Go to laurenlogie.com, click on listen and podcast and contact us there. And also we'd love to do our Misfit podcast shout out. So we'd love to recommend to you The Last Two Brain Cells, which is a segment-based semi-educational comedy podcast run by two microphone-wielding baboons named Austin and Donovan. I love stupid people, and I mean that in the clown sense, which is stupid is good and funny. So we love them. Whether through true tales of the past, charming anecdotes, or experimental soundscapes, they'll always bring you a fresh reprieve from the highfalutin world of serious adult life. Boring. Go to them for your reprieve, your vacation, your night off. Go to Last Two Brain Cells Podcast, available on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Excellent. All right, so now let's get to some misfit melodrama with Adam Macias. He is a comedian, podcaster, content creator, and all-around good human. Let's go to Misfit Melodrama with Adam Macias. Welcome, Adam Macias, to Misfits Making It.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So we're going to go into Misfit Melodrama.
Yes.
But I want to take some time to talk about you and all of your brain children out there doing the good work.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. I have so many children, and I love them all the same. Yeah.
Which is amazing. As a person who does too many things, I totally.
Yeah, I feel like we're kindred spirits. I definitely want to pick your brain on touring because I listened to your last episode and I'm like very much in that headspace of like, you know what, why not, let's just do this, you know, let's do it, you know. So
hell yeah,
I definitely want to hear your side of it.
Oh yeah, well, we'll definitely have to chat for sure because there's so much to say, and you know, there's so much, like, so much depends on so many factors, you know. It's like,
right. And you toured your show, or did you tour your like just stand-up stuff?
I toured my show.
That's my dream. That is my dream. Speaking of one of my babies, like, my show is also a stand-up show. And so my dream is to somehow combine them as much as possible. So much respect for what you did. That sounds so cool.
Thank you. So you mean you want to bring like a lineup show? You want to book local talent at each place?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Bring people on. I was a big fan of Doug Love's movies back in the day. And what I loved about him is whenever he was on tour, he would do his podcast and just bring up local acts and like do the podcast with the local acts, which I think is great. If you got a good premise for a show, it doesn't really matter who's on there. You know, it's
100,000,000%. And it doesn't matter about you. If your premise is, it doesn't matter how famous you are. If your premise is good,
yes,
people will come.
Exactly. Exactly. And, which I love the premise for this show. I think, again, a kindred spirits, wild people, misfits, there's something happening there.
Yeah, there is something. I think there's something that just like crosses all boundaries and categories that like brings people together.
Definitely.
Feeling like outside the box.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you are also, your podcast also talks about crazy stories.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So my show, That Was Wild, is a comedy show where I bring in some of my favorite funny wild people that I know, and they tell their wild stories, but we also focus mostly on like the wild things happening in the world, like your Florida man, you know, like a pastor decides to, instead of during the Eucharist, he bites another person, you know, so it's not eating the body of Christ, it's eating the body of Christine, that sort of thing. So lots of like Florida man stuff, but we also talk to some, you know, I like to surround myself with strange people. Maybe that's the ADD in me, but
I hear that. I'll give you some fairy dust for that. Okay.
Oh, thank you. And I love the drops. I love the drops, by the way. If I had my other setup, I would be doing the same. So I love that. But yeah, so Yeah, I talk to funny people that I kind of collect in my life or have in my life where, you know, living in LA, we all have kind of these weird stories. I'm sure it's the same thing with New York. I can only imagine, which I would love to have you on my show to talk about the stuff that you do as well. But yeah, like, you know, people in the background of working on the series Obi-Wan, or we talk to strangers on the internet about the time they blacked out and woke up in Japan when they were in England. I love to talk to people. I think everybody's a little wild and a little crazy, and I don't think you necessarily need to be famous to live a wild life, and that's what the show is about.
Hell yeah. And so you also use Reddit. You also get stuff from Reddit, right?
We do. Yeah. We do some Reddit stuff. We tried it. I'll go on up on, well, my favorite Reddit is R Not The Onion, because satire is dead. The world is crazy. And I highly suggest, if you're into funny and weird news stories, subscribe to R Not The Onion, because it's real stories that seem fake and they're just too ridiculous. But then, we go on like Am I the Asshole, which is a great one. People asking for advice on like, hey, my wife is asexual. Is it okay to cheat on her? Like, no.
Amazing. Yeah, that's great.
So, that's what we try to do. I try to, you know, the world is wild. And I try to highlight that as much in as many ways as possible.
Oh, that's great. I love that. And then you get audience. How does the audience, you said you have audience stories here.
Yeah. So people call in. We've had like anonymous people tell me their wild stories, like about the time that they, you know, went to Vegas and thought maybe they were being catfished. And what I do is I use some software to animate the stories and have them like, they can tell it anonymously. So they talk through like a little animated puppet. People call in, and we also do like, we go on Chat Roulette. We used to go on Omegle, which died recently. So we would go on Chat Roulette and just talk to strangers and see what their lives are up to. And let me tell you, we've been through some pretty wild people, some pretty, pretty crazy people. Big fans of guns. Lots of people are big fans of guns in America, surprise or not.
Oh, wow.
But then we'll go to talk to people in, in the Middle East and stuff, and talk to a few people, like their harrowing story about escaping Lebanon during the war and stuff. And yeah, it's just like, there's lots of wild stories out there. And my goal is like amateur journalism, I guess.
How many times going through Chat Roulette do you have, like how many dicks you have to see before you finally
see? So many. That's what I'm doing the work. I'm combing through the penises to get to your wild stories. And sometimes the penises the penises have wild stories too. Sometimes
the penises need to be heard.
Yeah. It's something that's not common enough, is that dicks need a platform. That's what we try to do. Yeah. Someone needs to stand up for dicks, is what I'm saying.
So how involved are you with the Daily Misinformer? Are you writing writers' rooms, or are you just turning them?
So I created that show with some friends, but it was kind of my brainchild. Brought some friends on board, and I left it in October, which is, you know, everything's all good. Those people are really good friends of mine. I don't have anything bad to say about it, just because it was a really, really good experience. I think I learned how to be funnier. There's nothing more confidence building than writing a little joke and it getting tens of millions of views.
Yeah.
So much so that people are stealing it and throwing it on their own channel and putting like GTA 5 or some sort of like video game split screen Minecraft jump on it. So there's nothing more confidence building than in your comedy than like just writing a little silly joke. And that, so what I found was, I think I needed that confidence boost to find my way into other things. So I've been pursuing stand up a lot more, and that's been its own funny thing of like going viral on the internet and then trying to build like a comedy set, which is like, I highly suggest don't try bringing TikToks onto stage because they never work. People are like, okay, buddy.
Right. So,
but yeah, it was a really fun experience. I helped create that show, shot and edited. I split the editing with my good friend, Paul Heredia. We produced it together. And back in October, I decided to leave, kind of pursue my own thing. And it's been focusing on the podcast and stand up since then. And so many brainchilds on the other way.
When I was watching you like Misinformer, I was like, this is really good. This is like, and it's nice to see something that's really good. And I wondered, because so many other people think that they can do it and they do it and it like floods that space. What was that like for you guys?
So we actually started really early in the pandemic. The way that started was, we were doing a live stream comedy show during the pandemic. We actually launched on the first debate of 2020. Like Mike Pence's fly. Mike Pence's fly was somewhere around our inception. And it was actually called Fake News. And people hated that name, so we changed it to Daily Misinformer. So it was a long-form live stream show with characters and some monologue jokes. And when we brought more people on board, Paul Heredia decided, he said it would be a good idea to chop it up and put up on TikTok. And then it kind of just was history from there. Viral views, that first time getting a million was like, whoa, like we could do this, you know? And it was one of those things where like, I was not a joke writer, like by any means. I come from a improv background, but that's not writing obviously. And I'm a musician, so I know how to write songs and I've been loved all that stuff, but I'm also a podcast producer and video producer. So I have like the technical know-how, and being in that group really forced me to like what is a joke? How do I write the joke? And low key, there's a competition between all of us to get the best jokes and try to do it. Just like any healthy writer's room is like, you want to be the funniest, you know? And it really just made me focus on like, what's working? How do I get it? Like, how do I manipulate this? And because there's always so much news.
Right.
You can just like, okay, that one didn't work. We'll try to get it next week. It's not like a stand-up set of like, is my story funny or is this script funny? It's just like, okay, well, we'll get them next week. Like, what's another story I can joke
on?
Right,
you gotta move on. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it was like really, really awesome to be like the first time I got a video that I wrote get a million and like, cool. Now let's just keep reproducing it or recreating it in different ways. And it was just like a really, really awesome and unique experience. And I tell everybody, like, if you're looking to go viral on the internet and just like trying to do it, I say do it because there's never not enough of it. In my opinion, like Pocket Report started around our time as well. I have a few other friends that kind of did the, I'm telling jokes on the internet. And the key to it is consistency, you know, like is just keep doing it. Just do it as much as possible. And the beauty of TikTok is like, you know, I've had tens of millions, maybe almost hundreds of millions at this point. You guys don't know who I am. Like I could just walk around in the street. I don't get noticed.
And
it's not as important as you think it is. But it is still cool. And it, like I said, at the very end of the day, it's still confidence building.
Yeah.
And it just helps comedy in general. Just, I think it's good. Like it's better than going to an open mic and just telling your terrible 9/11 jokes. Like,
right.
Yeah.
There's just like the consistency you brought in and like a writer's room and like the craft and practice of writing. I love that you're like, no one knows who I am. I'm not important. That's amazing. Cause there are people who are like, do you know me from TikTok? And I'm like, I look at them and I'm like, first of all, you repost the same shit that went viral all the time. Yeah. You still like boost your account. Like you're not tied up with anyone. And it's embarrassing.
Yes, totally.
Embarrassing.
Oh, it's so embarrassing. Yeah. I always think of that scene in Barry.
Yeah.
where the female lead, she gets her first show on their Netflix equivalent, and she goes to a coffee shop and she's just waiting to get noticed. And that's how I felt when I first got my million. I you know, like first viral, I was just like walking around like, is it safe? But it's so crazy when you think of like a million. That's not necessarily a million people, but then if you expand it, maybe even if even it was, like, there's so many people in this world, like, and that's why I'm here to say, you know, like, billions is a lot of people, and that's why we should get, billions is a big number, and that's why we should get rid of billionaires, because we can't even really fathom how big of a number that is. So.
Yes, yes, just to get, there we go. Okay, so real quick, we have to get to Misfit Melodrama, but I want to just, Dana Carvey, I love Dana Carvey. So what was it like? I have to ask that.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, like I was very fortunate to work on a few shows with Dana Carvey and David Spade doing their show Fly on the Wall. I was not the regular producer for that show, but I definitely did some cool events with them. And it's just, it was just awesome. To be honest, I did record a show. You know, they did a few with Adam Sandler and Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis that I helped engineer and stuff. And two funny things happening there. The Will Ferrell one was interesting. We did it at a theater in LA. And people were lined up outside. They were lined up outside trying to get in. And he had to, he didn't actually do this, but he kind of had to beat people off just to get through the thing. It was like intense. And I remember him walking up to us and he was just like, oh my God, like, I don't want to do that again. Can we make sure that doesn't happen on my exit? And then like, he kind of brushes off and he's like, hi, I'm Will. How's it going? How are you? And I'm like, good. And he's like, oh, that's good. What have you been up to today? And I was like, I did not expect this conversation to keep going, you know? And I was just like, it's good, you know? Like, you know, it was very weird. And then the other funny thing with Dana specifically, I did an episode where Tony Hawk was in their show, was doing the show with them. And, you know, everybody loves Dana so dang much.
Yeah.
But, it, to the point where, like, after the interview, Tony Hawk was like, hey, would you mind doing George Bush for my wife? And like, they filmed a video. I was like, you know, like, he's just one of those legends that, like, it doesn't matter what status you are. Like, hey, can you do this funny video for me? Like, it's just, it's been,
right.
It's, yeah, it was just crazy. It's truly just comedy legends. Wild stuff.
Super legend. That's amazing. Wow. Well, I just love being in the presence of genius. It's just like, oh, I love it. Cool. Let's do the quickest. We're going to do the quickest Misfit Melodrama ever. I'm going to bring on Carmella. She is my aunt from Boca Raton, Florida. And she is the one who will do the Misfit Melodrama with you. And again, as I've said this before, we are going to riff more about ourselves. It's never about you. We are punching our own face. Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. Hello. She's rushing me. I'm like, I don't rush, I'm old. Hi, I'm Carmella Ravoli. Hi, Adam. Nice to see you.
Hi, Carmella. Oh my God, I'm such a big fan.
Oh, so many. There are so many. So we have, I see your palm trees, I approve, in your background. We got to get going. She's telling me I got to get going.
All right. Well, Carmella, you and I, let's chat later. I'd love to catch up.
Cool. I have some pollen to smoke for us. Okay. So here's what it says. The audience from the Misfit Variety Show, people write misfit moments, the moment that they felt like they didn't fit in. Okay. This is what person says. My senior year of high school, I had to take finals in a gym. Everyone took finals in the gym. I had a sinus infection so bad my teeth hurt. During the final, I sneezed and unleashed all the infected mucus that I had been holding back for 2 hours. I looked so panicked that my math teacher bought me 2 boxes of Kleenex. That's a day.
Yeah, that's And that's where she decided they didn't fit in. I'm assuming
that was a moment they felt like I did not fit in with everyone. It's so funny. It's like you were just sick, kid.
Yeah, it's just everybody gets. That reminds me of a time in middle school. I was like the new kid, starting to gain my popularity. I'm getting in there, and we're outside, and we're sitting on the blacktop, like waiting for like some sort of announcement. And I had my legs kind of curled up. It's how uncomfortable a blacktop is. And I tried letting a little fart out, just like a little one. And because of my leg placement, it ended up being way bigger than it was supposed to be. And everybody looked around me, and I pretty much became like persona non grata at that point. Everybody's like, ew. And that's when I lost all my popularity and credibility. And if that's what it was like for this person, then I really do feel bad for them.
Yeah, it's just also. Did anyone else notice either? I mean, I guess sick of people. It's like, is that, people suggest kids are just assholes. They want the first person who farts is the one that no one wants to talk to. And then meanwhile, they're all like going, oh, thank God no one was around at that time.
Yeah, the point of it is like, these are just bodily functions we all do. Why are we feeling shame for it,
Right, it's ridiculous. Just sneeze. Well, maybe you get more Kleenex. Maybe you need to come to that. And why the fuck are you going to the test with no Kleenex? Get your shit together, okay? Bring a lot of Kleenex. You're going to be snotting everywhere. Get a bunch of Kleenex.
I feel like, it's good for the immunity. At this point, build up your immunity. You're doing the Lord's work by spreading diseases and building immunity.
And if anyone laughs, they deserve to get sick. So
yeah, exactly.
On. Okay, all right. We'll do one real quick one and then, okay. I was in the deaf community in Washington, D.C. and told to sign smaller so I don't attract attention in the streets.
Wait, assigned snoreless?
Asked to sign. So in the deaf community?
Oh,
she was in the deaf community. And I said, sign smaller. Do the sign language smaller.
Is that
which, as an Italian, I am so offended by that. I can't even stand it.
That's equivalent to like a loud talker. Like, there's just like, is that how they whisper? Is like the smallest little tiny movements?
Maybe.
I'm
not sure.
So interesting. That's so interesting. I worked with the Deaf West Theater Company out here in LA. And there are different variations. Like, I actually worked with the guy who won the Oscar for that movie that was about the deaf family very recently on Apple. I forget the name of it. Oh, dang.
I don't know.
But anyways, somebody write in the comments, jam out in the comments. But anyways, worked with them, and he is a very big signer. He signs big, and he even it's really funny what they can do to like emphasize it more. And then there are like the ones that are like, on the side. Do you ever see those like the rapper, like the Cardi B signers on the side of the stage? Those are some cool people. They know how to like throw it in there for sure. So
really, I like Cardi B. I'm a fan. I like her. I like that she's a Bronx girl. I have Brooklyn roots. I like she has the borough thing. She don't give a fuck. Yeah. I really enjoy her.
Yeah, that's literally what the signers do too. That's how they like. They're like, there's like throwing attitude and stuff. It's a rad gig.
If I have backup dancers, I'm going to have to keep that
there
in
you
mind.
Go.
Backups or signers.
That would be awesome.
Something that they have to have a cigarette in their hand if they're signing.
Yeah.
All right, Adam, I'm getting you on that. I got to go. Okay. So good. So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Something. Maybe ask if you want me on the show. Just ask. You got to ask her.
Yeah, please, Carmelo. Anytime. Let's hang up. Okay. I'll see you by the pool. Thank you so much, Carmelo.
Okay, we'll see you later. I'll get you martini. Okay. All right. That's Carmelo. She likes you, dude.
Wow. Yeah. She was awesome. She was awesome. What did you do? Where'd you go? Where were you? Just hanging off to the side?
I just grabbed some tea or something.
Oh, good. That's cool. I wish I could do that for my show. I can just like walk away, have somebody else take care of it.
That's good. Great. I appreciate her.
Yeah.
All right, now, Adam, where can people come find you?
You can find me at Adam R. Mack on Instagram, or you can follow thatwaswild.net for live shows and to be updated on our weekly podcast that drops every Friday to make sure you start your weekend a little extra wild. Thanks again for having me.
Thank you, dude. All right.
Well, there you have it. You can follow the podcast on my page at Lauren Logie. Updates and inside info on my email list, LaurenLogie.com. Thank you to Annie McCritchian for editing, Edward Silla at Radio Misfits Podcast Network, and Maddie McLennan for making the podcast art. Thanks to our listeners for bringing us back for another season. We'll see you soon.
The preceding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.